Welcome to another episode of the Disciple Making Leader Podcast. I'm your host, Ben Borgman, and we are starting our fourth season, and we're super excited. I want to welcome someone new as a new team member, kind of an answered prayer to our team as we're continuing to grow and do new things, Mr. Dallas Harvey.
I'm happy to be here, man.
Yeah, so Dallas is going to be really, I'm going to call you the producer. That's what I'm going to call you now.
Professionally, I've been describing myself as the new guy.
The new guy. That's pretty. Yeah. That's a esteemed title. Yeah, they're new.
It
guy.
Is, but I'll take producer. That's a level up.
Yeah. So Dallas really is helping us as kind of our director of training and engagement, which includes the Disciple Making Leader Podcast.
Yep.
It's how one of our main ways we get to reach out to you as leaders and just hopefully encourage you and really help you make and multiply disciples like Jesus. So what we're really going to talk about in our first three episodes this season is we're going to share with you guys kind of a first for us. It was a live conference event that we did last year, the very first one that we call the Cross Creek Collective. Really, the Cross Creek Collective was kind of a celebration of what has really birthed from a disciple-making movement at Cross Creek Church, and it involves all these different organizations and ministries that God has birthed here, including Disciple First. You have the church itself, Cross Creek Church, and the leaders and disciples that are being made here, and then we have the Cross Creek Network. Yep. And the residency. And how do all those things, all, you know, we're all circled around this same kind of cut from the same cloth and, you know, same heartbeat of making disciples like Jesus. Him is our model. And we just wanted to gather all these leaders and all these groups and all these ministries together and celebrate. And so we did just that. I mean, you were able to experience that. What did you think? Kind of, because it was like your first, it's within your first 6 months of work, and then you show up at this thing called the Collective. What did you think about it?
Man, I didn't know what to expect exactly. I knew everyone was excited about it. But when you have so many people from all these different corners of the world, and they've come, and somehow it, God has just worked and created this beautiful network of His people to really make and multiply disciples Jesus's way in all of their various contexts, whether that's in Nepal or Montreal or Montana or Las Vegas or all of these other parts of the world that were just represented there. It was incredibly inspiring. Yeah. To see how God is working. Yeah. And really encouraging to say, hey, what we're doing here, this matters. And it also transcends context. You know, some of these things that we're talking about, it may seem like, hey, only in my context does this apply. But the way that Jesus makes disciples applies in every context. Yeah. And that was really exciting to be a part of.
Yeah, that's a really good point. But what we're going to share with you over these next three episodes was really the highlight for our ministry, our part of the collective, you know, this multiple day conference that we did. Is we did the Disciple Making Leader live. And so think about like late night talk show meets podcast with a live audience. We didn't really know if it was going to work or not, but I really think it was fun. Number one, it was challenging. I was a nervous wreck.
Yeah, I was going to say, were you nervous?
Yeah. So so another thing you may be noticing is we're on camera. So with part of this whole evolution of the Disciple Making Leader podcast is now Dallas is making me get on camera. And so you'll be able to see us, and so hopefully you'll be able to see on YouTube and all the different things of now we have a video aspect to our podcast. And so to kick that off, we're starting this event at the Cross Creek Collective, and so we're going to share this over the next three episodes, different interviews, so really different segments we did with really representations of leaders from each part of the Cross Creek Collective. In this first episode, what we're going to have, if you're a podcast listener, you've probably heard Glenn Underhill on part of our on some of our episodes. So we're going to be interviewing Glenn and just really talking about, you know, how was personal investment, how that really impacted his life and career, and really what fuels him in ministry. And so we're going to get, you know, just really share that with you and share those conversations. And so then we're also going to be able to highlight a pastor that we've just kind of met as we've been ministering, JT. And you got to meet JT. JT is a young pastor in Sweetwater, Texas, and he has a heart for other pastors. He has just this care, concern, compassion for other pastors. And man, it's just really great to hear his story, to hear his heart. And that's what we're going to share in this first episode is really this Cross Creek Collective Disciple Making Leader Live conversation. And it was a lot of fun.
It was, and I have to make a disclaimer as the producer. We are not sponsored by Topo Chico, but if you want to, we're out here. Just let us know. But yeah, great episode, and a real big emphasis on pastor health and the need for pastors to really pursue health for themselves, for their family, if they're going to be effective disciple makers long term. You ready to get into it?
Man, I don't think we need to beat around the bush anymore. I think we need to get into it.
All right, let's do it.
Oh no, I've got a mic. Too bad, Ben. Too bad, Ben. Just grab that one right there. There we go. All right.
Where is it?
Show Ben some love. Come on now. He found his mic.
Just to make me Welcome, any Ben. More uncomfortable than I already am sitting on stage in front of people. Craig, this is not the podcast room.
No,
you
this is
not. You told me, hey, let's go do a podcast. We're going to take a left and we go to the podcast room, but yeah. This is not it.
No, this is not. We're not usually this far apart from each other when we're doing the podcast.
No, I feel a little distant from you.
I know.
I don't know. I just had tacos with onions and cilantro.
Maybe that's good. A good thing. Maybe the distance thing. Is good.
Well, welcome to the Collective, another night of the Collective. Who was here last night? Who was here last night? Oh, yeah.
All right. Yeah, so, there we go.
So to add to not only just sitting on my mic, we also have to follow Pastor David.
Yeah, that's so right. That's hard to...
If you were here last night, he kind of laid out some challenges. And yeah. you realize his first language is not English.
Yeah.
He preached in his second language, and it was pretty good.
It was hot. It was,
so
stand up, Brother David. Everybody give it up for Brother David. Come on. There he is, right there.
So, but I've got an answer. Craig said, hey, you better bring your A game. And I'm sorry, I don't have an A game. I'm just going to, I don't have an A game. But what I do have is a team of disciple-making leaders.
Yeah, you do.
I've got guests that'll make up for what I lack.
Okay.
And I've also got a great co-host over here, Pastor Craig Etheridge.
I'm color commentary tonight.
Oh, yeah? He's the glue. He is the glue. So, the Disciple-Making Leader podcast, we're about in 3 years of our podcast. It's really a leadership podcast. Challenges, but really celebrating just disciple-making leaders wherever they live, learn, work, and play, where they serve, and just highlighting that. So hopefully that's encouragement to our listeners. And so that's what we're going to do for you tonight. But again, like Nick said, as a part of representative of the collective, that's what we're going to share with you tonight. So we're super excited.
Yeah.
But we've just got finished with a long season of podcasts. We did, I think, 13 or 14 episodes.
Yeah, at least.
And we got. I think you have some more seasons in you. But
oh, yeah.
To keep you moving,
yeah.
We got to keep you hydrated.
That's right. Yeah. Hydration is very important.
Bobby Boucher, you know, his water's very important. But there's a certain, so if you've listened to the podcast, there's a favorite type of water that Craig prefers. Even
right.
His grandchildren know what preachy water is.
That's right. That's right.
So we've got
That's
our right. beautiful stagehand back here. We're bringing out some of Craig's favorite beverage.
All right.
We've got some Topo Chico here. We got
here we go.
John Mark the
Everybody
night off.
Give a hand clap for the Topo Chico.
Yeah.
So bad we.
There oh, we go. Oh. Get him one. Yeah.
This is perfect.
I'm going to need him, so keep him moving. There you go.
All right.
There we go.
Good job. Thank you. Wish you guys could share this with me.
He doesn't just sing, ladies and gentlemen. He's also a pretty face. Thank you, John Mark.
All right. Good job, John Mark.
So, but anyway, we're having fun. That's what we like to do in our podcast. We don't want to just teach and do all these important things. We also do want to have fun. And that's what we're here tonight. We hope you have fun tonight. But we want you to be encouraged by the stories that you're going to hear. And so, you know, we've got our Topo Chico.
We're ready.
We've got our audience.
Yeah. There we go. Got a live audience all right. tonight.
But what we need, really, really need, is we need our first guest.
Let's get it going.
How about somebody you know and love? Everybody loves him. His favorite candy connoisseur, Glenn Underhill.
Hey, bring it up. Give it up for Glenn Underhill. All
Come
right,
on.
Brother. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, brother.
Hey, thank you for having me on the podcast. It's good to be here.
Yeah.
Hey, this is not your first rodeo, bro. You've been on the podcast a lot.
A lot. Yeah. And I'm missing. Hey, can you pass me a topo? Because usually you are always bringing me one every time we do something.
Oh, he didn't open the box.
No, sorry.
No, John Mark has a can opener.
He just can use your teeth.
Yeah. Use your teeth.
That would be a good thing.
Sorry, Don. So for that. For that dental bill you'll be receiving. And so, anyway, but yeah, we've been all over the world. We've traveled together. You've been on staff with Craig for what, like 50 years now, something like that?
Yeah, we're like an old married couple,
aren't
we?
Pretty close to 50 years.
I mean, really. We've been to Nepal. We've been to Zambia. We've been to Canada.
Cuba.
Canada?
We've been in Cuba.
Chair?
Yep. Montreal.
Even the deepest, darkest realms and corners of Mississippi.
Yes.
We're my Mississippi guy. There we are. I knew that'd get a little crazy.
Definite mission field in Mississippi.
Yeah. There was a lot of candy.
Hey, we've been to LA too. Lower Alabama.
Oh yeah. Lower, yes.
So again, but what we really want to talk about is just, I genuinely appreciate how you've invested your life in those people around you, including I've benefited from that. But man, you stayed at it, you're persistent, and you are the epitome of a disciple making leader, and that's why we've got you out here.
Come on, give it up for Underhill right now.
So I just want to say something real quick. I want to highlight something. Glenn was a youth pastor, and he's never grown out of it. So we're going to treat him as such. And so we have a little gift for you because there's a saying that you have.
Yes.
There's a saying that your team knows that I've heard you say at trainings, and it's even if you were selling Subarus, you would be making disciples. Okay? Even if you were selling Subarus, you'd be making disciples. Glenn, I love you. Why Subarus? Why that rant? I mean, how rant? Why not like, you know, Cadillacs or, you know, something like sporty like Ferraris or something? Why Subarus?
Well, so seriously, I don't know why, but do you guys remember the commercial where they had the salesman and he'd always say, I want to sell a Subaru, but at least I'm not selling like a Chevrolet or something. It was a long time ago.
No,
and
what kind of TV do you watch?
It laugh really hard. And I was always like Subaru, so I just I don't even own a Subaru.
Have you ever driven a Subaru?
I've never even been in a Subaru.
Okay,
but I just say that. So,
before you give us your answer, John Mark, our lovely stagehand, has a gift for you. We have an official
China Subaru.
Subaru salesman T-shirt with your name.
You're an official salesman.
The official jersey. I like it.
So yeah. Now
it's got Underhill on the back, Team Underhill.
It's got Glenn on the front for you.
I like it. I like it. So thank you.
You're an honorary Subaru
salesman, by the way, too. That's my friend right there.
But seriously, what do you mean by that? What do you mean by even if you were selling Subarus, you'd be making disciples?
So what I mean by that is that I, no matter what calling God had in my life, whatever platform God would put me in, I want to make disciples for the rest of my life. There have been two key events in my life that really were game changers. One was a man who invested in my life when I got out of seminary, was at our first church together.
Yep.
Actually, our second church together. And man, it was so impactful. And then a few months later, I met a guy by the name of Dan Spader who really challenged me to think about studying the life of Jesus and modeling our ministry after that. And it had such a profound impact on me that I was like, it really has become a core conviction that I want to model my life after Jesus and my ministry after Jesus. So that's the whole thought is no matter what I do, I'm going to be making disciples.
Yeah, it's not tied to your role as a pastor.
No, absolutely not.
It's not why you pour, you know, hey, we meet at 6 a.m. and do grow groups. You don't do that because you're executive pastor.
Exactly.
No. Even if you were selling Subarus.
Even if I was selling Subarus or Chevrolets.
Or Ferraris. Set your sights higher.
Yes. Cadillacs.
You know, by the way, I feel so far away from you guys.
I do.
I feel like y'all are kind of having a little something. I'm way over here, but that's okay. That's all right.
Lean in.
You know, one of the things that I love about Glenn is that he's been making disciples ever since I've known him. I mean, Glenn and I go way back to right when you were out of college.
That's right.
That's right. You were just fresh out of college and going to seminary. Not married. And we've known each other that long. We've served in multiple churches together over many, many years. And Glenn not only has been faithful to invest in men, disciple men, but I've seen how the people that he's invested in have gone on to multiply. And they're like, think about what's happened in Zambia. When you took a group of guys, Zach being one of those, and several others that out of our church that have multiplied into thousands, literally thousands. And that's one extreme example, but that's the impact of your one life. And so I just want to say thank you for modeling that and God using you in really, really powerful ways. We are blessed to have you and as an example to all of us. Thank you. Well,
thank you.
Yeah, give it up. What keeps you at it, though? Because ministry's hard. Dealing with people, you always said disciple-making's messy because relationships are messy. You know, we always have things going on in our life and, you know, just really investing in people's hearts. What keeps you in the game?
Honestly, it's getting to watch people's lives transformed by Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, I get kind of emotional about it when I think about when you see someone go from, you know, just irreligious and just not loving Jesus to becoming a fully trained disciple. It's pretty unreal.
Yeah, I think we got a picture of Ricky.
Let's small put a part
one of
that.
Those guys like that is Ricky. Ricky Childers. If you know Ricky, he's a church member here. Just a great story. And then you just met him right in when his life was a wreck, poured into him. And now he baptized. There he is sharing his story in Nepal. Yeah. I mean, think about that. That guy's life was a wreck a year and a half before this. Didn't know if he was going to stay married. And this year baptized his two daughters and his wife on fire for the Lord. God's using him, and that's an example. And then here's your family tree up here. We got Glenn to Zach to me to Brad Windler, and then again, that's just a small representation. That's the benefit I've had because again, Zach met me after you poured your life into him at a very pivotal time in my life, and my life was dramatically changed because of that. So I echo that. I mean, what God has done through your investment is something to be celebrated. Mm. Thank you.
Wow. Thank you.
Yeah,
that's a joy. I love it.
And that picture is just four generations. That could keep on going.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there are multiple generations that are represented there. So, absolutely.
Yeah, that's actually one of my favorite pictures. I have it at my office because that's one of the things I, when it gets hard and difficult, I remind myself that, hey, stay in the game. I loved what David said last night. Just keep fighting. Keep fighting and don't give up the fight, even when it gets ugly and messy, and just keep at it. So that's been my mantra. I'm going to stay at it till Jesus comes back.
And that's why we're doing the collective. That's why we're doing this, is so that we can see, because we get busy. We get busy in ministry, and we're able to see these tangible representations. God's able to see and remind us, oh, this is what you've really done. You see up here on a podcast, oh, I know what Ben's life was like 15, 18 years ago. I know what that was like. And so thank you. Thank you. Yeah. All right. So this is not our only guest. We're going to make a little bit of
space over here
and kind of have kind of so Craig
so I'm not
feel
so
left
far
out.
Away from everyone.
Yeah. So we want to welcome another disciple making leader to the stage. Pastor JT Thornton. Come on up here.
Oh,
JT.
Yeah. JT.
JT.
JT from WT, West Texas.
Yeah.
There we go.
He's from a great place, too. Sweetwater, Texas.
Hey. Any of y'all ever been to Sweetwater?
There we go.
How many
really?
People know where Sweetwater is? I mean, that's even the...
That's you know. A better... That's another better question.
Do they have Topo Chico in Sweetwater? Is that what they mean? Sweetwater or no?
You know, it's maybe an off-brand. Yeah.
Okay, maybe ranch water, but
little ranch water.
That's not church appropriate. That's not church appropriate. So
we got you know what they do have in Sweetwater?
What's that?
The world's largest rattlesnake roundup.
That's right.
That's right.
There we go.
I went to that in college. It was impressive.
It really brings 40,000 people into Sweetwater.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, that's four times our population.
Yeah.
that's actually not a joke, but you know.
That's like a real fact.
More rattlesnakes than people, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of rattlesnakes. They broke the record last year.
There you go.
Yeah. That's
a
scary
thought. Plaque? Like do they have a billboard now?
No. I just like to say Satan was a snake too. So you know, that's how I feel about snakes.
Go catch them.
Yeah.
All right. All right. So we want to get to know you a little bit, JT, because again, Glenn's kind of homegrown here, but a lot of people know him, but we don't know you. So tell us again, we know where you're from. Tell us about your church and kind of your role there, and just a little bit about you and your family.
Yeah, so we moved to Sweetwater, my wife and I, about 4.5 years ago. Never said I would be a lead pastor I said I would never be a lead pastor and also said we'd never move back to West Texas. And here we are, and we love both of them. It's just what God leads you to do. And when you follow, man, it's an incredible journey. And so as a lead pastor there, we have the church is Trinity Baptist Church out there. Man, it's in an exciting season. It was in a really difficult place that I didn't really know about, honestly, even before I got there. And frankly, remember telling my wife whenever we got there, I just said, I don't know why God thinks it's a good idea for us to be here. And I told him that too. And that was in week one. And here we are 4.5 years later. And man, God is good to see his work in ways you never thought you could.
Yeah, man. And you're doing such a great job leading that church. Church is growing. A lot of new things are happening there. And really exciting about the disciple-making culture that you're creating there.
Yes, sir. So, If you have any friends that are West Texans or family, one of the things that they thrive on is authenticity. I think we all appreciate authenticity, but there's something about West Texans. Authenticity and hospitality are really big things. And to be able to engage the disciple makers that actually were already there and present, and to really kind of unify that effort and continue to do so, right? Do the best we can moving forward. You're seeing their strengths of relationships come out and be filtered in through the disciple-making lens, which, man, is a fascinating thing to see God move in that way.
So JT, and we love you. We've known you for a while. We've been working with Disciple First, and we had the privilege of just serving you. And so ever since you kind of figured, we're talking about the Jesus way all week, ever since you've kind of adopted that and thought about that, just maybe share one of those stories of just a win with the people that you serve, and whether that's on, I know you serve on the football team, like your chaplain is the football team, or in your church, just one win that's like, hey, I can say this is because now I'm doing it Jesus way.
Yeah, absolutely. So in a small town, one of the questions they asked me in my interview was, what do you feel like, what comes to your mind when you think of being a pastor to the community? Because when I walk around in a town of just over 10,000 people, I engage people that aren't coming to our church, they're coming to another church, and I'm still the pastor at Trinity. And also in a small town, some of them anyway, in Sweetwater, pastors can still kind of go anywhere. You have a free range of stuff, which is a beautiful thing about it. So I'm in my fourth season as the chaplain of the Sweetwater Mustangs. Go Mustangs. We're going for a district championship this week.
Oh, there you okay. Go.
Yeah,
there we go.
Jim Ned better watch out. So, so all the players, they call me coach. I'm a wannabe coach. I get to wear the swag, and get to do all the fun stuff without all the hard work. But the thing about it is that it's created an opportunity for me to engage kids that I wouldn't typically have the opportunity to. And so what this has resulted in is you saw a picture of number 17. That's Braxton. Braxton and three other guys right now from those relationships built on that football team, I'm meeting with at a hole-in-the-wall restaurant on Tuesday mornings called Papagayo for a burrito, and we're walking through James right now slowly and just discipling them, and man, seeing them really just embrace a faith in Jesus that they haven't before. And those guys, we're all in the process of talking about baptizing all four of them. And man, it is so exciting.
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Good job.
Good job. So we've had a couple of conversations recently, you and I, about this, and this is something new that God's been putting on your heart over the last few years and has really kind of walked you through, but then just really kind of called you to a new thing in addition to serving at your local church. Tell us about your heart and how you plan on serving and really, really loving on young pastors. Tell us about that new initiative.
Absolutely. So my testimony, I had 3 months into student ministry, I had a big time seizure. It was due to dehydration, stress, weight gain. I just let myself go in ministry. and was excited about ministry, but didn't know the different spiritual formation that would be needing to take place in my life. And so one thing led to another over the years, and I've just really seen God redeem some things in my life that I never knew possible. And he really just put this vision on my heart for a new ministry called Catalyst 645. You should have right there. By the way, y'all are the first people publicly to actually hear about Catalyst 645.
Okay, hey, how about that?
There we go.
It's happening right here,
y'all,
people.
It's officially a nonprofit as of like 2 days ago, okay?
I think you texted me on Tuesday.
Yes. Yeah. And so excited, because the whole point about this is that ministry leaders and pastors go through so many different seasons. Of course, the foundation of who we are is a relationship with God. But the way in which we engage God will really needs to change depending upon the season and the rhythm that you are in. We're about to have our second kid in about 5 weeks. My rhythm's really about to change. But the reality is that being able to set this trellis of spiritual formation and structure of spiritual formation based on loving God with the fullness of yourself, right? With your mind, your spirit, and your body, based out of Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 5, is 6, 4, and 5, right there for Catalyst. Being able to set that, saying, I'm going to love God with the fullness of myself and do the very best I can. And when I don't, I accept his grace. Being able to set that foundation moving forward has fueled me in ways that I also never knew possible, only by the grace of Jesus. And we're just moving forward with it, man. I don't know what the future holds with it, but God's leading it, and we have no option but to be obedient.
Yeah. Praise God for that too. Praise God.
We're super proud of you and how God's using you, not only in your church, but outside your church. You're multiplying yourself with other emerging leaders, other pastors, and you're going to make a huge impact for the kingdom.
Thank you. Praise God. And thank y'all for y'all's influence and just mentorship in my life, man, and just what Disciple First has done, and just even more than just the literal ministry, but just the heart of being able to see the passion behind teaching people to follow Jesus is just contagious. And it has influenced my life, and it's something that when you, as you're talking about, Glenn, when you see other people really catch fire with that and move forward with that and see life transformation, there's nothing more motivating to keep going than that. So,
yeah, praise God. Man, thank you guys both for being a part of the show tonight, and just, again, being a disciple-making leader and your personal investment in me, Glenn, and proof of why I get to do what I do, and actually that it's actually making a difference as you live that out. So give it up. Let's give it up for these guys.
Give it up for Glenn and JT.
Guys, thank you for watching this episode. We hope it was a blessing to you. We'd love to hear from you what you learned from it. If you want to connect with us or hear more about what we have available, our resources that can help you make and multiply disciples like Jesus, those will be in the show notes below, along with any information and links about our guests and their ministries. We pray you have a good day. Take care.